Again, welcome to our gospel service. What we're going to do now is we're going to read from the Bible, which we believe is God's word. We believe what Jesus said when he was down here on earth, that heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. So we're going to read, first of all, in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. So I've got three readings for you. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to speak on to the end, but you'll work it out. Seeing you're so clever. So Hebrews chapter 6, please. Hebrews chapter 6. And we'll just break in at verse 16. For men truly swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath. That by two immutable or unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Turn over, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians chapter 2, we're just going to break in at verse 8. And this is such a beautiful passage here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Verse 12, "that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Our final reading is in the Psalms, Psalm 130. Psalm 130 says this, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ear be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." And we'll look to the Lord to bless the reading of his word to our hearts this afternoon. I want us to talk about something very simple and yet profound, something very needful and often lacking. I want to talk this afternoon about hope. Hope. I hope it's going to be a good day. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about your hope and my hope. We sung, "And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And at the start of this meeting, I would love to ask you, I'm not going to ask you face to face, but I would love you to answer in your heart, what is your hope? What are you depending on for time? What or who are you depending on when you come to die? And more importantly, what are you going to depend on, or who are you going to depend on when you go into eternity? Because there's one thing certain and there's one thing sure, that we're all going to die. Hope. My hope is in the Lord. He's yours. When we read in Hebrews, God confirmed it by two immutable things. He confirmed the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. He confirmed it with his words, but he confirmed it with an oath. That those who trust in Jesus Christ are saved with hope. Hope is a sure expectation of something ahead of us. And we know, those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that if we died today, tonight, now, if we died, we would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That is the hope that believers have. That is the hope that you need to have. That is the hope that you can have. And that is why we present the gospel in the streets. The people may laugh at us, and that's okay. People may ridicule us, and that's okay. But we believe that people in New Cumlick need to have hope. They need to hear hope. They need to understand what hope is. And I just thought, as I was reading during the week, about Psalm 30. And here's a psalm. It's called the Psalm of Degrees. And I just thought how beautifully this explains what hope is. What hope is. So we have, in Hebrews, we have an anchor. We have a hope. And that hope is Christ Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was down here on earth, and I quote it quite often, and maybe you think, oh, here he is again. But I quote it so often that Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So if your hope is on anything on earth, you're hopeless. If your hope is on anyone on earth, you don't have hope. Hebrews tells us we have an anchor, a sure and certain hope. And that anchor is not anchored in heaven. It's not anchored on earth. It's anchored in heaven. Our hope is in a person. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He is our hope and he is our salvation. But this beautiful psalm is one of the psalms of ascent. And apparently, I'm not up in my Jewish history, but there were three times a year the people of Israel had to go up to Jerusalem. And they had to go up to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that was to remind them that they needed to flee from sin, that they needed to have their sins forgiven. And they would go up to Jerusalem and they would sing psalms as they were marching up. They would go up at the Feast of Weeks, and that was to celebrate that God's word was given. And they went up and they sang with joy that God had visited Moses on the mount and God had brought the law down to earth. And then they went up on the third one, the last one, and that was for the Feast of Tabernacles. And they would go up to Jerusalem. And they would go up to the hills of Jerusalem. And they would sing songs. It must have been nice. I was at a conference yesterday and they sung songs. I had a sore throat, but it was nice to sing songs. But these people are singing songs. These people were singing songs to God. And I want to look at this song. I want to think of verse 1. It says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, Lord. I want to sing of these think of these people who were singing about where they were. They were in the depths. I want to think, ladies and gentlemen, of what he was doing. I want to think of his prayer. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I want to think of who he's praying to. I want to think of the person that he's praying to. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, O Lord God of Israel, is the emphasis, the one true God. O Lord God, if you would mark iniquity, if you would count out my sin, if you would count out their sin, if you would count out sin, who can stand in your presence? And this person is praying to God. Does God hear prayers? Maybe you have prayed. Maybe you are praying. Oh God, show me light. Oh God, show me some direction. Oh God, if you're there, won't you answer me? And I want to tell you on the authority of the word of God. I want to tell you on the authority of this song of degrees in 130. It says, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I will wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. And I want to think of the promise that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So that's my little thoughts today. So you can just picture maybe a bunch of friends going up to Jerusalem. You can maybe picture a family and they're going up to Jerusalem, had to leave everything behind, and three times a year they would march up to Jerusalem to give sacrifice and worship God. That was the command. And as they would go up, they would sing from Psalm 120 to 134. They would sing psalms of joy, psalms of thanksgiving, and psalms of worship to God. But this person who wrote this psalm is nameless. But this person is just like you and me. This person who wrote this psalm has said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Here's someone who's in the depths. Now, we could think many's a thing about what the depths are. But you know, we read in Ephesians that at one time, those who are not Christians, those who don't believe in Jesus, they were without God. They were without hope. They were strangers to God, aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. They had no hope. They had no hope. They had no God. They had no salvation. And they had no right to cry out to God. And here's this person, man or woman, boy or girl, and he says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Have I cried unto thee. Here was someone who were in difficulties. Here was someone who was in danger. And here was someone who was fearing for their life, fearing for what happens after life. They were fearing before God. And that, my friends, is a great position to be. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible tells it. But here they are. And this man's saying, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Who can help him? Who can save him? Who can pull him out of the mire? Who can put his feet on a rock? Who can put a new song in his mouth? Only God can do that. No man, priest, prophet, king, whatever, no man could do that. No point praying if you're in a pit, if you're in the darkness, if you're in that slough of despond, if you're there, who can save you? Can man save you? Is any man interested in saving you? Does anybody care for you? I tell you, no man care for my soul, the psalmist would say, but out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O God. Not only was he in the depths, but if we read in verse 6, he was in the darkness. Here was a man, not only was he in the depths and he's crying out to God, but he's in the darkness. He can't see the light. He doesn't know if there is light, but he's crying out to God. O God, in your righteousness, in your holiness, won't you hear my cry? And here he is. And this is the song they're singing. Because some of these people were in the pit. Some of these people were in the darkness. And they've been brought out. They've been brought out of the pit. They've been brought out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And they're going up to Jerusalem to give God thanks. Oh, but listen to the prayer. Listen to his position. He was in the pit. He was in the depths. He was in the darkness. And he wants to get out of it. He wants his life changed. And he cries out to the one who can change it. Only God can change that. What's he say? Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Lord, hear my voice. Be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Here's a man just didn't pray, Lord, help me, and just stay where he was. Here's a man, he's desperate for change in his life. Here's a man, he needs God in his life. He needs to be changed. He needs to be taken out of the pit, out of darkness. And he wants to be changed. And he's ready to be changed. And he can't do anything to save himself. But he cries unto God. He cries unto God. And he says, Lord, if you would mark iniquity, if you would mark down my sin, who could stand? Who could stand in the presence of holy God? And my friends, we need to be reminded that God is holy. We need to be reminded that God is righteous. We need to be reminded that God is just. And we need to be reminded, like those Ephesian Christians, that until we come into a living, relationship with Christ, we are without hope. We are without God, and we're strangers to God. Oh, he cries unto God, God in heaven, the one true God. I cry unto you, be attentive to my supplications. Hear me, O God. If you would mark iniquity, I couldn't stand in your presence. The great thing about the gospel is that God hears. The great thing about the gospel is that God listens. The great thing about the gospel is that not only does God listen and God hear, but God answers prayer. Not an amen of a kind. We'll try that again. We know that God answers prayer. So here's this man or woman or boy or girl crying out of the depths, crying for salvation, crying for deliverance, crying for hope. And he's got no hope. She's got no hope. But we read in Psalm 130, this is why it's a joyful psalm. I don't want you to get, oh, that was a mournful message tonight. I want you to think about the message of the gospel. It's a message of hope. It's a message of joy. What does he say? If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. There is forgiveness with God. Have you had that forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen? Have you had your sins forgiven? Here's a man in the depths. Here's a man crying to Almighty God. Here's a man whose ear God is listening to. God is listening to. And here's a man, he understands that God can forgive him. Is that not good news? That God can forgive this man without hope, without God, that God can forgive him. Oh, the provision of God. Yes, the position in the mire. He's praying to the person of God. And this is the provision. There is forgiveness with thee. Not only is there forgiveness, but there's mercy. There's mercy. What in the world is mercy? Mercy is God holding back. Mercy is God restraining himself from something that you and I deserve. The wages of sin is death, and God is merciful. God is merciful. God is withholding his judgment. God is withholding his wrath. And God has got mercy. Oh, what does this singer say? Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. Mercy from a holy God. Mercy from an awesome God. Mercy from a just God. God offers mercy. Not only is there forgiveness. This is so good, isn't it? This is just like, you know, way you go somewhere and somebody gives you a bit of cake and you're like, oh, that's good. Can I get another bit? And you get another bit. It's just so good. This is what this person has come into. That there is forgiveness. There is mercy. But there's something else. There is plenteous redemption. Oh, the redemption of God. What do we need redemption for? Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, those sins that God hates, those sins are against God. When you lie to your family, you're lying against God. When you're disobedient to your parents, you've been disobedient towards God. All sin is primarily against God, and God cannot overlook that sin. But this person understands there's forgiveness with God. This person understands that there's mercy with God. And this person understands that there is plenteous redemption. Plenty of redemption with God. That gives me hope. That gives me hope that no matter how good you think you are, you need to be redeemed. You need to be washed. Your sins need to be washed away. That tells me that no matter how bad you are, that there is plenteous redemption. We don't know how bad this person was. but there was plenteous redemption. Redemption comes at a cost. These people had been stuck as a tribe. They had been stuck in Israel. And they had been delivered. They had been stuck in Egypt. And they were delivered out of Egypt by the blood of a lamb. They had to take a lamb, a perfect lamb. They had to examine it from the 10th day to the 14th day. They had to kill that lamb. And they had to apply the blood to the doorpost and the lintel. And God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So these people knew what redemption was. These people in Ephesians, the Ephesian church, knew what redemption was as well. They understood that they had been without God. They understood that they had been without hope. They understood that they were strangers and aliens to all that God had to offer. But it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I want to tell you about redemption this afternoon. I want to tell you that on Calvary's cross, Jesus died. On Calvary's cross, Jesus suffered. On Calvary's cross, after men had done their worst to God's lovely Son, the earth was closed in darkness. And in those dark, dark hours, Christ died for our sins. That is the price of redemption. That is the price of my redemption. And if you will avail yourself as well of it, that is the price of your redemption. That Christ has died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried. And on the third day he rose again. Why is that so important? Well, it's quite simple. It's simple to my simple mind. A dead Savior couldn't save you. A dead Savior couldn't keep you. A dead Savior couldn't be with you through this life, through death and into eternity. We need to have a living Savior. We needed a living Savior. We have a living Savior, and that is Jesus Christ. Oh, the cost of redemption. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's more. It's like a box of Christmas. You keep digging in, there's something more. There's even more here. What does it say in verse 8? Verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. What about verse 8? And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Can God forgive me? Can God have mercy on me? Can God redeem me? But what things have I done? You know, what I've done in my past, could God forgive me? Well, I tell you, if he can forgive Israel, one of the most disobedient, wayfaring nations of the world, if he could say to Israel, and he shall redeem Israel from all these iniquities, I'll tell you, he can forgive you of all your iniquities if you come to him today. So can you imagine? You're walking up to Jerusalem to obey the law of the Lord, to go into God's house, to offer sacrifice of praise and worship, to bring your offering before God, and you're singing this song. I tell you what, it gives me joy. I wouldn't even embarrass myself by trying to sing it, but there's so many things we can sing about here. We can sing about God. We've been in the pit. We've been in the mire. We've been in the darkness, and for those who have trusted in Christ, we're out, and we're on a rock. A rock for our feet, a path home, and joy in our soul. We have found out that there is forgiveness from God. We have found out that there's mercy from God, and there is plenteous redemption, and we have found out with joy he can redeem us from all iniquity. And that applies to all who will trust in Jesus Christ. God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My rock is in Christ, and Christ is secured in heaven. So it doesn't matter what happens to this earth. Heaven and earth will pass away. My anchor and my hope is in Christ, and you need that as well. Simply come as you are. Confess your sins. Cry out to God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will have forgiveness and plenteous redemption. May you do so for the glory of Christ. Our Father, we bow with thanksgivings for the gospel of our Lord Jesus. It's good news. It's good news from heaven. It's good news that's going to stand the test of time. It's going to be good news for those who come to the end of life. And it's going to be great news when we're absent from